Good morning. Today's Daf Baba Basra is Daf Tes. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf is one of the Zechon Nishmas Libi Gavriela Bashmo. We are starting in the Gemara today on Chesam and Beis. We talked yesterday about people's responsibility to give tzedakah. That will be the continued theme of today's daf. The reason why we got onto this topic of discussion is because of a Mishnah. The Mishnah on Zayin Amud Beis taught us that there are certain basic requirements that the communal members have to provide for the community, and certain funds which are necessary for the protection of the community, and therefore they have to give. As long as we were on the path of discussing the communal responsibility and the need to give, so the Gemara is going to segue into today's daf, which is going to be almost the entirety of today's daf dedicated to the topic of giving, and specifically giving to the aniyim. Really, the opening of today's daf comes yesterday, where the Gemara says that you could take a mashkon al tzedakah. In other words, you could take a collateral against tzedakah. The requirement to give tzedakah is such a strong requirement. It's so powerful that it creates a shiba, but it creates an obligation on your part. And that outstanding obligation allows people to come in and even take a mashka. And that's what the Gemara said yesterday. It's what we're going to pick up today. So we're going to start today at the second to last narrow line of the Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rava Bar Avua, explaining yesterday why there is a need for two people to collect tzedakah, right? Three people need to give to allocate the tzedakah, as we learned yesterday's daf, because we're talking about allocation of money, and Dine Mamonos is Bishlosha, so therefore I need three people in order to allocate the money. In terms of the collection of the money, so that the Gemara says you need two people. Why two people? Because it's Shrara. Because there's a certain amount of authority involved in that. What is the authority invested in the collectors of tzedakah? So that's what the Gemara said yesterday. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rava Bar Avua, Lefishim and Mashkin al tzedakah. You could take a mashkon against tzedakah. People are not interested in paying their tzedakah, in giving their tzedakah. So you go to their house and you collect, and even if it requires to take a mashkon v'afilu b'Erev Shabbos. And this requirement is so strong that you can even do so on Erev Shabbos. Even the Gemara says, is that true? V'aksiv v'fakarati ha'koloch sav v'amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Amar Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Mishmei Derav Afilo Agabi Tzedaka. So people who are considered oppressors are people who are collectors of tzedaka. So certainly does not sound like the best way to describe somebody in the most glowing of terms. When you're calling him a lochet, you're calling him somebody who pressures other people. So the Gemara says, Lokasha, Hadamir, Hadalo Amir. The Gemara says, depends if they're wealthy or if they're not wealthy. Yad Rav Achvel, Rav Nasan Bar Amir, Veshachim, Min Arba Meir Zuzil Tzedaka. Rav went ahead and he took 400 Zuz from Rav Nasan Bar Amir in order to give to Tzedaka. Obviously, the man was very wealthy. He had 400 Zuz to give. And so Rav went over there and just basically took it. In other words, I'm gonna take it from you because you're in a position where you can give and therefore you should give. Okay. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from Sefer Daniel, "V'hamaskil mizaru kezora rekia." Those who are maskilim, so they're going to illuminate like zora harekia. Skip the parentheses. Zedain shadan din emes lamito. Those people who are illuminating the world, so those people who are judges who judge with honesty and with fairness. But with honesty, with truth. Matzdikai Rabim, and those people who are providing righteousness for the public. So Kirko Chavim, La Olam Vaed. So they're going to illuminate like the stars. So Ela Gabit Staka, this is a reference to Gabit Staka. So they're also people who are going to illuminate the world. Now, in the Brisa, also darshaning the very same pasuk. So we start off by saying that the people who are illuminating are the judges who judge truthfully. Now, in terms of those who collect the staka, Vigabitztaka. In the Brisa, Gabitztaka is put together with the judges who judge honestly, meaning that they illuminate the world. And then, and those people who illuminate like the stars, which seemingly is not as much illumination, meaning for sure it's good. The pasuk is complimentary, but it doesn't provide as much illumination. Is Ela Malam de Tinokos, those are the people who are teaching the children. People teaching the children also are providing illumination for the world. Kigon Man, the Gemara gives an example. Amrav Kigon Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. So Rav says, I'm going to put up as an example of somebody who is a very good Malame Tinokus, a very good Rebbe, is Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. The Rav Ashkechel Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. Rav one time found Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Avikai Beginyasa, and he was in the garden. Meaning, now over here it doesn't mean kindergarten; it means actual garden. Meaning that he was actually checking on his property. So Amalei Shavaste Lehem Nusech. So Rav says to him, "What are you doing? Aren't you normally in the classroom? Aren't you normally teaching the children? Meaning you're a Rebbe. What are you doing out in the garden?" So Amarlei Hatleisa Shnin Delo Chazili. So he says, "I've now gone 13 years without having taken a look at my garden." Meaning consistently, I've been in the classroom. I've been in the yeshiva, and I've been teaching the kids now for 13 years. Consistently. And I says, I'll tell you the truth. Even though right now you see me in the garden, I'm thinking about the Talmidim, meaning I'm focused. I'm concentrating on the Talmidim, even as you see me outside. So the Gemara says, fine. So we have described now judges who judge correctly, people who are Gabbai Tzedakah, Rebbeim of students, so they obviously provide illumination for the world. The Gemara says, what about Talmid HaChachamim? Meaning, the Gemara is assuming that Talmid HaChachamim, even above and beyond everyone we just described. So as far as Talmid HaChachamim, so they provide the kind of illumination that the sun provides. Meaning, yeah, exactly. That they are the ultimate in terms of illuminating the world. Tana Rabban, the Gemara quotes, "Brisa Gabbai Tzedakah Einam Rashayim Lefrosh Ze Mize." The Gabbai Tzedakah cannot separate one from another. In other words, as we learned yesterday, as we reviewed in the beginning of this morning, so Gabbai Tzedakah has to be able to collect only two at a time, meaning as a pair. They cannot collect individually, and they must be somewhat together. Now I say somewhat together, you'll see why I say that. Avapir Zelasher Vezelachanus. One can go to the market, and the other one can go to the gate. Okay. Gates another place where people populate. And if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi writes that as long as they are visible as long as within the same vicinity, as long as they're seen together. I read the Rashi. Zela chanos vezela shar, zela gavus miyoshre shar, vezela gavus miyoshre chanos, uvelvad sheyir ushneim keechad. As long as they basically can be seen together. So they don't literally have to be hand in hand, side by side, but they have to be within proximity. Matzah maos b'shuk. Now, let's say you're a garbage sucker and you find money in the market, meaning lost money, which you're totally entitled to pick up and keep. There's no simon, there's no identifying marker on the money. Here's the problem. You are a garbage sucker, you're going to take money, you're going to pocket it. Now, it's perfectly within your right to do so. You found it, but what are people going to see? And what are people going to say? So here's what you should do. Lo yutnim b'soch kiso. Don't take the money and put it in your pocket in front of other people. People will think that you are skimming off the tzedakah money. Elanosam b'soch harnik yishol tzedakah. What you should do is you should take the money and put it in the purse of tzedakah. Ulechashiyav alabeisa yamalei. I'm sorry, yitleim. And only when you get home and you're in the privacy of your own home, then take it out and then you can pocket the money. But even though what you're doing is perfectly legitimate, but once it arouses any kind of suspicion that, hey, you may be skimming off the top, so do not do that. Do not do that kind of behavior. Kayotze bo. Mar says, I'll give you another example of basically the same idea. Hayanosh b'chaver mano para b'shuk. Let's say somebody owes you money and you find him in the marketplace. And again, you're the Gabbai Tzedakah and he's owing you money, but it's a personal loan. It has nothing to do with the tzedakah, and he pays you the loan. So once again, if you take the money in public and pocket the money, so again, the casual observer is going to look at you pocketing money and basically accuse you of skimming off the top from the tzedakah. So once again, the Gemara says don't do that as well. So again, so what you should do is put the money in the arnik yishol tzedakah, and then when you get home, then and only then should you take the money out and portion it for yourself. Tan Rabban, the Gemara quotes the Braisa Gabbai Tzedakah she'ein lahem aniyim lechalek portim lachem v'portim matzman. Okay, you've collected a lot of coins. Now the coins that you collected are prutos. They are they're copper coins, and the metal is just not going to last that long, and they're going to rust. And you don't want that. And you want to preserve the money. So basically, what you're going to do is you're going to take the copper coins, the prutos, and you're going to transfer them over to silver coins. And silver coins are going to last a lot longer. Here's the problem. Don't take your own money and make change with your own money. But rather what you should do is you should do it with somebody else's money. Meaning, simply, change the money with an outsider. Now, with your own, again, it gives off the impression of impropriety, even though you're doing nothing wrong, but people will think, hey, there's not another opportunity for the guy, but it's not going to skim off the top.
Did you mean your
own house? Unclear. And I don't know. Gabi tamchui she'en lamaniyam l'chalek mochrim la'achem v'en mochrim la'atman. The gabi tamchui, the collector of the food, basically the soup kitchen. So where there's no poor people to give, so now you have all this food. The food's going to go bad. You don't want that to happen. So you're going to sell the food and then use the money at a later point in time for the aniyam. So don't buy the food yourself. Again, it gives off the impression of impropriety. So rather, sell the food to other people. When it comes to the money of the tzedakah, so you're counting the money, don't count them two at a time. You count them two at a time, so again, the accusation could be, he's counting two coins every time, but every time he counts, he's really counting one. And so that means then that at the end of the count, there are going to be some extra coins left over, and I know what he's going to do. He's going to take some of those coins and basically hoard them for himself. So make sure that when you count the money, count them one at a time. Amar Abai Mereish Lo Hava Yasev Mar Atzipe Debe Kenishta. Abai says, you know, originally, so I would not lie down on the mats in the shul. I wouldn't sit, I should say better, on the mats in the shul. Meaning, Rashi points out, they were Machasol Shabbat Knesset, it's the last Rashi in the Amud. They were mats in the shul. Mishum de Mizavne Lohu Mimos HaKupa. Money that was taken for the kupa, for the collection, for the pushka, was intended to go to poor people. There were no poor people around. So the money was then rededicated, redistributed for shul needs. And at first, Abaye said, I didn't think that was right. And I wouldn't sit down on these mats. But then Kevin Deshamel had the time Lashnos Lachomash Yirtzu. But then I heard the brisa that we learned together in yesterday's daf, which is that money that was collected for tzedakah, even though collected for one purpose, if not needed for that purpose, can be reapplied to another tzedakah purpose. So then Avi Yosef. So then Abai says. So then I knew it was okay. Then fine. And Amar Abai Mereshav Avid Mar Trei Kisei. Abai says, usually when I would go around originally collecting, so I would have two wallets, two purses, two pushkas. One for the general poor and one for the poor of our city. But then I heard that what Shmuel said to Rav Tachlifa, which is, you don't need to. You just have one pushka. You have people contribute money, and you make it tonight. You make a condition. And the condition is that first we'll give to the poor of our city, and if there's none available, so then it'll be redirected towards the poor of the world. So, Iyunami Avid Chakisa V'asni Allah. Rav Ashi Amar, we're now on the very top of Tesamad Aleph. Rav Ashi says, no need. Rav Ashi Amar, Ana Asnuya Nama Lotzer Chinah. You don't even need to make it tanai. It's self-understood. It's implicit. And that is, the chol deka asi adaiti didi asi. Meaning, this is the original rabbinical discretionary fund. Meaning, everyone understands it, but then when they give the money, they give it with my discretion. And as a result of that, I will first look for poor people within the community. And if I can't find that, so then I'll give it to other people. So, ulaban debaina yavne lei. And anyone who wants it will give it to me based on my discretion. And so therefore it doesn't even need it tonight. There were two butchers in the community, and in order to avoid competition, so they basically made the following negotiation one with another. And that is, we'll split the days. One day I'll shecht, the next day you'll shecht, and basically on day, off day of shechting. 7 days a week, I'm just embellishing. Gemara doesn't say this. 7 days a week, 6 working days. I'll take 3, you'll take 3. Fine. And we'll basically split the days. And Choman de'avir b'yuma de'chavre nikru l'mashche. And let's say now, in our agreement, in our stated agreement, let's say you shecht on an off day. Meaning, it was my day to shecht, and you decide to shecht on that day. So as a penalty, so we're going to take the hide of the animal you shechted, and I'm going to be able to tear it up, so that nobody will benefit from it. Okay, so basically, okay, and I'm not making this full comparison, but basically, they unionized the the butchers, and not the butchers, but really the shochets, and with the agreement that one's going to work one day and the other one's going to work the other day, and so they basically created some basic form of a union. And so, as the story goes, so one of the butchers shechted an animal on a day that he was not allowed to shecht, and Karla Mashke, and the other butcher went over and said, the other Shochet went over and said, hey, you're not allowed to do that. It's not your day. And remember, we agreed that the penalty for shechting on your non-shechting day is I'm going to take the hide of the animal, I'm going to tear it up. And he did that. Now, Azla coming to Rava. Now, they go to Rava, meaning the other butcher, obviously, the other Shochet was not happy, even though they agreed to such a binding agreement, but he wasn't happy, and he took him to court, and he took him in front of Rava. And Chayvinu Rava Lishlume. Interesting. Rava said to the butcher to the shochet who tore up the hide, you have to pay him. Now, I know you made an agreement, and I know it was agreed by both parties, but still you have to pay. And now, so the Gemara says, remember again, going back to yesterday's daf, is that when you have the Bnei Ir, so they could make agreements, and included in the agreements that they can make is penalties. Remember the Rashi we said yesterday. Lasi al kitzasam. I'm going back to yesterday's daf. Rashi and Chesam and Beis. Rashi says liknos es over al kitzas divrayim lasiya midas din Torah. So you can make a kanas. You can make a penalty. So over here, so they basically unionize the shochets, and anyone who doesn't follow the binding agreements are going to be penalized. So I don't understand what's the problem. So the Gemara says, lo ahadole Rava. So Rava didn't answer, meaning he heard the kasha, he didn't answer. Presumably not because he didn't have an answer, but he didn't feel that there was no answer that needed to be given. Amar Rapapa Shapir Aved lo ahadole. So meeting. And Rapapa says, yeah, that, I agree. I've got Rava's back on this issue. I don't think Rava needs to respond to that. I think Rava was right in that the shochet who tore up the hide has to pay for the hide. Why? Because hani milechad like adam chashuv. When do we say that you can the Bnei Ha'ir can make binding agreements and penalize one another? So that's only when there's no adam chashuv. Avahechad ikad adam chashuv lav kol kaminayu demasno. However, if there's an adam chashuv in the town, in the community, and so therefore everything really should go through him, through the adam chashuv. And if the adam chashuv is of the opinion that there should be a penalty, fine. But in other words, the people on their own cannot come up with these kinds of penalties, one to the others, when there's an adam chashuv in the town. And presumably, by the way, the adam chashuv is Rava, meaning Gemara doesn't spell that out. And maybe that's why, and I'm suggesting, I didn't see this, but maybe that's why also Rava didn't respond. Because he didn't want to speak out and say, oh, you know, when there's an Adam Chashuv, so then things are different. And oh, by the way, the Adam Chashuv is me. Tana Rabbanan, we're continuing in the Gemara. Ein Mechashuv Mitzdaka, Im Gabit Tzdaka. So, the Gabit Tzdaka. So, does he need to make an accounting of the monies that he received and the monies that he allocated? The answer is no. He has implicit trust, meaning to become a Gabit Tzdaka, you have to be a certain person of good reputation, and so therefore you do not need to make an accounting of the money that you received and the money you're allocating. And the hektish also, meaning when it comes to the temple treasurer, so they do not need to make an accounting. The Alpha Bishen the Gemara says, now, I don't have a pasuk that says it out straightforward, but we certainly have a pasuk that speaks to this idea. The Torah says, the Navi says, V'lo yichashvu as anashim, asher yinu as hakesef al yadam, aseh soseh ha-malacha, ki be'emuna heim osim. There's a certain amount of faith that is given, that is entrusted to people when dealing with temple treasury money, and so therefore they don't have to make an accounting for it. Now, obviously the pasuk over here is not talking about Gabi Tzaka, and that's why the Gemara says that this is not a actual raya, it's not a source, it's Zeichel Adover. But it speaks to the idea that when someone is entrusted with holy money, meaning certainly temple treasure, included is gabei tzedakah. So when someone is dealing with holy money, so they don't have to make a reckoning and accounting of the monies that were given to them and the monies they allocated. Amar Rav Elazar, afa pi sheish lo ladam gizbar ne'eman b'soch beiso yatzur v'yimneh. Now, even though a person has a gizbar ne'eman, he has a trusted person that he's going to be giving his money to, and he doesn't have to make an accounting, but still, you should count the money when you give it to him, and then tie the money up before giving it to him. Shenemar. Again, going back to the Pesukim in Malachim, so the Navi says is that the money was counted, the money was tied up, and the money was handed over. The obvious question, of course, is that if the Gizbar himself does not need to make an accounting with it, so then why does the money need to be counted before given to him? Anyway, he's not going to make an accounting for it, but I think the answer is pretty simple, I think. And that is that still he needs to know how much was given to him, meaning even though he doesn't have to make a public reckoning, but he himself should have a good idea of the best idea possible of how much money was actually given to him. Amar Ravuna, botkin l'mazonos v'ein botkin l'ksus. Okay, the very practical halacha l'maisa. We're going to learn the Gemaras together. You'll have questions. I won't have answers, but at least let's familiarize ourselves with the Gemaras. Somebody comes over to you and asks you for money. So, what kind of investigation do you need to make in terms of whether or not he's deserving of the money? Meaning, is he a fraud or is he for real? Okay, numerous times, so we have this question, and obviously these are very touchy, very sensitive issues. So the Gemara over here presents the following machlokus on Marayim. So we start with the opinion of Ravuna. Ravuna says, "Bokil amazonos vein bokil miksus." If somebody's coming for food, so you need to do an investigation in terms of whether or not he really needs the food or is he a fraud. However, if he's coming for clothing, so then you do no bedika. You don't need to do an investigation. Just simply go on his word that he needs clothing. And by the way he presents himself will usually be the indication as to whether or not he needs clothing or does not need clothing. Now, the Gemara says, now this distinction of Rav Huna can either be said logically or can be said over through Pesukim. So, So the Gemara says, first we'll say a simple Svara, and that is, the person's coming for food, so you don't know if he's hungry or he's not hungry. It's not evident. If the person needs clothing, so the moment he presents himself to you, it is self-evident that he needs clothing, right? If he's coming and he's dressed very nicely as he's coming and asking for clothing, so then it's pretty self-evident that he doesn't need clothing. But if he's mevazeh, but if he clearly is coming tattered, now it could be, again, that he's just dressing up with the tattered look just simply to present himself as somebody who needs clothing. But again, Rav Huna says, the svar would indicate that if he is degrading himself, it's because he needs it. Now, Ibai say makra. Now, or the Gemara says we could also learn it out based on the pasuk. Halo pros l'ra'av lachmecha. Now the Torah says pros l'ra'av lachmecha. Now it's not written with a samach; it's written with a sin. Now even though we're going to pronounce the word pros, but it could also be poresh, which means to explain or to understand the matter clearly. So ksiv prosh v'hadar havle. First, know the matter clearly, and then give him bread. So when it comes to food, so you need to have a basic investigation. V'hasam ksiv, but when it comes to giving clothing to the poor, the pasuk says kisira arum v'kisiso. The moment you see him naked, so then you have to clothe him, which again gives the indication that there's no investigation that needs to be done. Kisira la'alter, when you see him immediately, that's when you clothe him. Okay, so Shita's Rav Huna is that when he's coming for food, so you need to investigate whether or not he's a fraud or he's for real. When he's coming for clothing, no investigation is needed. On the flip side, you have Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda Amar Botkin L'Ksus V'en Botkin L'Mazonos. So Rav Yehuda says just the opposite. Investigation is needed for clothing, but not for food. Ibai Seh Masvar, Ibai Seh Makra. Now here, the position of Rav Yehuda could either be based on Pesukim or on a Svara. Ibai Seh Masvar, we'll start with a Svara. Hai Kemitzar Aleh V'hai Lo Kemitzar Aleh. Somebody who is hungry is in right now current pain because of his hunger. So don't delay the matter and don't investigate to see whether he's for real or he's a fraud. He comes and he says he needs food. If in fact he's right, he's currently in pain, so therefore you feed him right away. Masha Enke, somebody who says he needs clothing. Now again, it could be very cold. I'll argue the point for just a moment. It could be that it's very cold and he's also in pain. But the assumption is that he is basically dressed and he could basically wait a little bit longer in order to receive clothing. So therefore you should do an investigation and then only then give him the clothing. The Gemara says, or we could look at the same Pesukim in Yeshayahu, says Rav Yehuda, and arrive at the different conclusion, and actually the opposite conclusion. Now, the word, it's the same Pasuk, but over here we're focusing on the way it's pronounced, not on the way it's spelled. Now, it's true, it's spelled with a sin, but the pronunciation is like a samach, which means pros la'altar. The word pros means to distribute. So somebody's coming for food, so immediate distribution. Ukidekarinan. And like the Pasuk is read, not like the Pasuk is written. V'hasam k'siv kisera ruva kisiso. Kishira lecha. And as opposed to with the clothing, it says when you see. And the Gemara and Rav Yehuda darshins, when you see, meaning when it becomes clear to you that he needs clothing, then and only then do you provide him the clothing. So, a very basic machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda in terms of when somebody comes for you, to you for food and or clothing, so which requires an investigation. So Rav Huna says, for food investigation, for clothing, no. And Rav Yehuda says, for food, no investigation, for clothing, yes. And again, svaras in both directions, and psukim, actually it's the same psukim, that are used for both directions. Tanya Kavase de Rav Yehuda. The Gemara quotes a pasuk, sorry, a brisa supporting Rav Yehuda. Amar kisuni botkin acharap, panasuni en botkin. Brisa says it beferish, that if he says kisuni cover me, meaning I need clothing, so then you do a bedika before you give him clothing. Mashen came parnasuni, if he asks for food, so then you give him the food right away. So that's the brisa supporting Rav Yehuda, and the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, both go like Rav Yehuda. Tanan Hasam. We learned in a Mishnah. The Mishnah here is from Peya. The Mishnah is a description of allocation coming from various tzedakah sources. And Ein Po Chasam La'ani, however, Mimakul Makum Mikikar Bipunda Yon Me'arba Sa'in Bisela. When it comes to the poor person who's coming, basically passing through town, so give him kikar bipundayon. Give him bread at the cost of one pundayon. A pundayon is a 40th of a sela, and at the time when four saw is being sold for one sela. Rashi does the math for us, and basically, after Rashi did the math, Rashi comes at the end saying that basically you're giving him two meals worth. So somebody's passing through town and asking for food, so the standard distribution for a poor person who's passing through town is to give him two meals worth of bread. Lan, no sen lo parnasas lina. Now, if he is not passing through town, but he's going to stay one night in town, so then you give him parnasas lina, you give him a little bit more food. What exactly does that mean? My parnasas lina, amara papa, purya ube saja. So, I'm sorry, you give him a little bit more for the lodging, and that is you give him some sort of rudimentary mattress, and you also give him a pillow as well. Shabbos. Now, if we are talking about on Shabbos, no sin lo, mazon gimel seudos, then you give him amount for three meals. Now, the simplest way to say the Gemara is that the amount for three meals, meaning the three meals of Shabbos. However, if you look at Tosfos, Tosfos says, Sir Tosfos on the Amud, Shabbos no sin lo, mazon shal seudos, pirish, bishab bitzar rayim. Meaning, we're not talking about at the beginning of Shabbos, but rather we're talking about, says Tosfos, Shabbos afternoon. Meaning, so now he's passing through town. He spent already Friday night somewhere. And now Shabbos afternoon, he's coming to the soup kitchen and he's looking for a food collection. So now you're going to give him on Shabbos afternoon three meals. How does that work out? Tosos goes through his schedule. Osen she seuda shenasan lo esmol be'erev Shabbos achal. Remember, he already got two meals yesterday, so he already ate those two meals. One little Shabbos v'Shabbos shachris. So the two meals that he already ate from yesterday's rationing, one was for Friday night, and the other one was for Shabbos morning. So that already was consumed, and now you're going to be giving him three more meals. Why? The v'Shabbos shachris v'shal shudo shenosim lo b'Shabbos. So on Shabbos afternoon, you're giving him three meals. Yochel achas b'Shabbos v'suda shlishis. So he's having one more meal for Shabbos, because remember, on Shabbos you have the additional meal, what we call shal shudos, and then v'achas l'motzei Shabbos, and then you're going to have a meal after Shabbos, malava malka, and shlishis Yishar lo lamacher b'derksha lo yelech reikam. And you know that tomorrow morning he's going to be heading to wherever he's heading to, and so that he tomorrow morning he has something to eat on his way out. So you're going to give him now that's the third meal. Ve'ein laharichin, and Tosfos says, and I don't want to belabor the point anymore, but that's basically the way he, Tosfos, understands the Gemara of the three meals of Shabbos. Continuing in the Gemara. Tana, we learned in a Braisa, three wide lines down. Okay, if we have an Ani who is used to knocking door to door, and then he goes to the soup kitchen, so the soup kitchen basically does not have to give him, because he already got food. Now, how Ani Adav Mechazel Pesachim Dasel Kamedirav Papa? So there was an Ani who was ambitious enough and knocked door to door and got his food knocking door to door, and then he went to Rav Papa, and Rav Papa says, no, I'm not going to give you. I know that you were capable of knocking door to door, and you did, and you already got your food, and I'm not going to give you. So, So Rav Papa basically said, okay, I'm not giving you, as per the brayso that we just learned together. I'm the Rav Samar Bray, the Rav Yeba, the Rav Papa, Imar lo mizdakek lay, inishachrin lo mizdakek lay. So one of the Amarim said to Rav Papa, you know, people are going to follow your lead. Meaning, if you don't give him, so everyone in the community is going to look at you. You didn't give him, so they're going to say, okay, he didn't give. We're not going to give as well. So the Gemara says, so lay malay. And now what's going to happen is he's going to die. So Vahatanya, so Rav Papa says, okay, but we have a brisa. We just learned it. We're going to repeat it. Imhaya ani machazel al psachim ein nizkakin lo. So Amar lay. So they say to Rav Papa, okay, so now let's say pshat in the brisa. Ain niskakin lo lamatana maruba avan niskakin lo lamatana muatas. What the brisa means is that you, because you know that he's knocking door to door, so you don't need to give him the rationing of what we said earlier, two meals, you know, if he's passing through town, but you still need to give him something, meaning you don't want the people in the community to think that he's not deserving. So give him a little something so that people see that you are basically endorsing that he needs it, And but what you don't need to do, because he's knocking door to door, is give him the full amount. The Gemara here talks about a minimum a person needs to give annually for tzedakah, a third of a shekel annually. Now, the Rishonim point out, it's not Rashi over here, but the Rishonim point out over here, we're talking about where there's simply nobody to give. Even if there's nobody to give locally, there still should be an amount of tzedakah that you're giving annually. So, and that's what the Gemara says, and the Gemara has a pasuk that speaks to this idea. Shenemar ve'emanu aleinu mitzvos la'asei sedleni shlisa shekel b'shana la'avodas beis elokeinu. Pasuk in Nechemiah speaks to this idea that you should be giving a certain base minimum of tzedakah annually. V'amar v'asi shkula tzedakah k'neged kol ha-mitzvos. The mitzvah tzedakah is comparable to all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Shenemar ve'amanu aleinu mitzvos. Going back to the pasuk we just quoted, the Torah says the word mitzvos in the plural, as if the giving of tzedakah is tantamount to all the mitzvahs in the Torah. Mitzvah inksiv k'ne'ala mitzvos. And so it speaks to this idea that the giving of tzedakah is so important it's tantamount to the mitzvos. Gemara provides a siman, and the Gemara now we're going to continue. Amar Rav Elazar, the fund raiser is greater than the one who actually gives the funds. Shenemar, shout out to the fundraisers out there. So Shenemar vaya maisa tzedaka shalom va'avodas tzedaka hashkeva vetach ad olam. Pasuk in Yeshayahu, and the focus in the pasuk is maisa hatzedaka. The one who doesn't give, but causes other people to give. Zacha halo perosh l'rav lachmecha lo zacha v'anim merudim tavi bias. And the Gemara goes on to explain that that if you're zocha, so you're going to be giving the tzedakah to the aniyim. And if you're not zocha, meaning if you cannot cause other people to give tzedakah, so the money is going to be collected through merudim. Right, people who literally rebels in this context, meaning Romans. Meaning the money's going to be taken from us, so either you're going to be giving it via tzedakah, or it's going to be taken from you in another way as well. So Amrlu Rava Labnei Mechuza Bematusa Minaychu. Rava begs and pleads with the city of Mechuza, with the people of the city of Mechuza. Oseba Hade Hadadi, make sure to give tzedakah to one to another. Ki hechad lahav luchushama b'machusa, so that we have peace with the Romans. Because if you don't give tzedakah, so as we just learned, the money is going to be taken by the Romans. So please, I beg of you, please give the tzedakah. V'amar Rav Elazar b'zmanche.
Gets more reward than the person giving the
money? I don't know, more reward, whatever. The Gemara speaks about the idea that it's great. I'm not the accountant. I don't know who's getting more reward. Amar of Elizabeth Mansha Beis HaMikdash Kayem Adam Shoko Shiklo Miskaper Lo. When there was, once upon a time when there was a Beis HaMikdash, so people would give the Machtes a Shekel and that would be a Kapara. But Achshav Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayem and most of them stuck a Mutav V'yim Lav Bainov De Kochavim V'nolam Bezroa. So now our Kapara comes via giving of Tzaka. So if we give Tzaka, that's great. Otherwise, along comes the Ovdi Kochavim and they're going to take it from us. V'yaf Apike Nechshav Lehem L'Tzaka. And when they take it from us, it's still considered tzedakah. Shenemar v'nokshach tzedakah. That when the nogesh, the people who come and basically are going to be ripping it out of your hand, still qualifies as tzedakah. Ama Rava haimilsa ishtayili ula mishagesh archte di'ime. Rava says, I was told to this by, now, it says Ula, but it doesn't really mean Ula. It means Rav Sheshes. Rava says, I was told this by Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes over here is described as Ula Mishagish Archte De'ime. They called Rav Sheshes the one who basically got his mother to behave in a most unusual manner. If I could translate the Gemara a little more literally, Ula made his mother crazy. I'm sorry, Rav Sheshes made his mother crazy. Okay, and we will see the story in just a moment. But anyway, but Rav is telling us that he hears this from Rav Sheshes and Mishmei de Rav Elazar. And Rav Sheshes himself got this from Rav Elazar, and that is the following. My dichtiv v'alibash daka kit shir yon. Shir yon is the is the armor that's worn by the soldier. What's it called? It's called
coat of mail.
Right. It's the one where it's basically it's metal woven one over another.
Scales, yeah.
Right. It's scales. So the pasuk says v'alibash daka kishir yon. So that's tzedakah. Tzedakah is like the this kind of armor. So lama lechama shiryon zeh kol klipa uklipa mitzarefes l'shiryon gadol. Now, if you looked at each piece of the armor by itself, it's nothing. But then basically as you are looping and linking together the various pieces of metal together, so it provides a solid piece of protection. Av tzedakah kol pruta pruta mitzarefes l'cheshbon gadol. Same thing with tzedakah. Each coin that you give of tzedakah ends up aggregating, and the sum total of the money that you give is going to provide the protection. Rabbi Chanina Amra Mehacha, Rabbi Chanina, same idea, different pasuk. Uchaneged Eidim Kol Tzidkosenu. Ma Begezeh Kol Nima Venima. Now, if you look at garment, again, you could look at the garment as just simply a thread, each thread, so Mitzarefes LeBegez Gadol, comes and cohesively creates an entire garment. So the same thing is true with tzedakah. Even though you're giving a penny at a time, what's a penny? In of itself, nothing. It has no value, but however, it adds up, it aggregates. My karulei now. So this is what Rav Sheshes said, okay, and Rav Sheshes told Rava, and Rav Sheshes got this from Rav Elazar, and very good. And oh, by the way, Rav Sheshes was described as the one who made his mother crazy, or made his mother behave in a crazy manner. Okay, so the Gemara says, as long as we describe that, so let's go over a little bit more of the story. Why was Rav Sheshes described as somebody who made his mother act in the most unusual fashion? The Gemara tells the following story, where Rav Achdubui Bar Ami asked the following question for Rav Sheshes, Minayin L'Mitzor B'Mei Sipuro Shemetame Adam. Okay, we know that if somebody has saras, so he is an avatuma, he's a source of tuma. Okay. And he's such an avatuma that when someone comes into contact with a mitzora, so he now is going to be tummy, meaning he's a, because the mitzora himself is a source, is an avatuma. Now, we know that when the saras is healed from his when the mitzara is healed from mitzaras, so it goes through a lengthy process of tahara. So first thing that happens is he goes through the process of the birds. All this is found in Vayikra, Parshas Mitzara, Perek Yedaled, right? They see there for a full description of the mitzara, of the taharas mitzara. But basically the first thing that happens is that he goes through a process of two birds. One bird is shechted, the other bird is let go. They sprinkle the blood. They shecht one of the birds. The blood is sprinkled. Okay, that is stage one of the taharas mitzara. And then he goes through basically Shiva Nakim. In other words, he counts 7 days, and then on the 8th day he brings another set of karbanos for the full Taharas HaMetzara. So during the 7 days of Sfira, so he has already now gone through one stage of the Tahara process. But as we're going to learn together right now, he's still an avatuma. And still, when someone comes into contact with him, while he is in process of becoming Tahor, he's still going to be an avatuma. And what the Gemara now is going over with us is, where do we know? What's the source of this? How do we know this? So, minayin mitzar b'meisi purusha matame adam. Where do we see this in the Torah? That even though he's in process and he's counting his seven days, he still is an avatuma. Amarlo hol matame begadim matame adam. So he says, well, I know the answer because the Torah says that b'yom hashvi on day 7 v'chibes begadav. He has to tovel his clothing, meaning his clothing which is in contact with him is tamei. So therefore, because his clothing is tamei, so therefore the logical extension from that is going to be that he's an avatuma. And when someone comes into contact with him, he's tamei as well. So Amalei Sarav Achdebui does not accept this as an answer. Amalei Demo Tuma B'chiburim Shani. His clothing is tamei, but fine, his clothing is connected to him. It's part and parcel of him. And maybe you can make the following distinction, that his clothing is tamei, but that doesn't mean he's an avatuma. And he's sitting available to matame begadim, vena matame adam. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you, when somebody moves the carcass of an animal, okay, the hasata, and we know the halacha is that he and his clothing that he's wearing is tamei. The person who touches a nevela, is he an avatuma? The answer, of course, is no. The nevela itself is an avatuma. The person touching the nevela is tame. The clothing that he's wearing is tame. But that doesn't mean it's an avatuma. So just because a person's clothing is tame does not necessarily mean that he's an avatuma. So Amalei v'al sheretz matame adam inalan. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's turn to the sheretz. Now the sheretz is an avatuma. Now lam vishum de matame begadim. So how do I know that the sheretz is an avatuma? Where when someone comes into contact with the sheretz, he's tame. So the answer is because the Torah says that when a person touches a sheretz, he has to tovel his clothing. So you see that the toveling of the clothing is indicative of the fact that the person who came into contact with the sheretz is an avatuma. Similarly, we're going to make the argument that when someone touches a mitzora during the 7 days, so by virtue of the fact that his clothing is tame, is an indicative of the fact that the mitzvah is an avatuma. So I'm relay sheretz behedjik siv. What do you mean? Sheretz? No, it's not. It has nothing to do with the clothing becoming tamei. The pasuk says, "Oh, isha sheyigah b'chol sheretz." The Torah says that when a man touches a sheretz, he's tamei. So I know sheretz is an avatuma based on the fact that the Torah says so, and not connected to the fact that his clothing needs to be tovel in the mikvah. El shechvat zera de b'tamei al daminalan. So the Gemara says, "What about shechvat zera? If a person were to touch the actual shechvat zera itself." So the semen is an avatuma. La mishum dehol matame begadim matame adam. And it must be because we know that when a person touches the shechvat zera, so his clothing needs to be tovel. The Torah says, Rashi quotes the pasuk, chol begev v'chol or asher ye'alav shechvat zera. So when you have clothing or hide that comes into contact with shechvat zera, needs to be toveled. So I'm like shechvat zera nami bejiksiv bey. What do you mean? That's not the source that tells me that shechvat zera is an avatuma. It's a pasuk. That when a man touches shechvat zera, so he's going to become tamei. That's how I know that shechvat zera is an avatuma. So, ahadolei bebedichusa. So now, basically, the question was asked: when you have a mitzora during his 7 days of counting between the process of the state siporim and the when he brings the karbanos on day 8, so we know that he's in process of tahara, and still when someone makes contact with him, he becomes tamei. How do I know that? So Rav Sheish just tried to make a number of arguments indicating that, well, we know his clothing is tummy, therefore he's an avitumah. And with every one of the proofs that he tries to cite, Rav Achdebuye says, no, it's not a good proof, that's not a good proof. And ultimately, when the conversation came to an end, so Rav Sheshes did not have a good proof to show us that a mitzvah, even while in process of becoming tahor, is an avitumah, still an avitumah. And Rav Achdebuye bar Ami then started mocking Rav Sheshes. So ahadurle bibidichusa. So he started making jokes on Rav Sheshes' behalf because Rav Sheshes literally could not provide an answer as to how we know that when a mitzvah is in process of tahari, he's still an avatuma. Chalash daite de Rav Sheshes. And Rav Sheshes was made fun of, and he had chalishas das. And ishtik Rav Achdebuye bar Ami v'iyaker tom tamadei. And because he distressed Rav Sheshes, and because Rav Sheshes had chalishas das, so as an onesh, so Rav Achdebuye bar Ami both became a mute, and also he forgot his learning. Okay, asi ima v'kabachya kamei. So Rav Sheshes' mother comes over to Rav Sheshes and says, please, she starts crying, Safcha Safcha V'lashkach Bey. And she is screaming at her son to basically daven on behalf of Rav Achdebuye bar Ami to heal him. In other words, get him to talk again and get him to remember his learning. But Rav Sheshes would not listen to his mother. So Amar Lei Chazi L'Anichajei Dematzis Minayhu. So basically what she then showed a chest to her son, and she says, this is from this you nursed from. And basically she was saying, look, I had rachmanis on you when you were a child, so I'm telling you to have rachmanis on him. So by rachmei alai v'itse. Now obviously that's unusual behavior, and that goes back to explain why Rav Sheshes was described as the one who made his mother behave in a most unusual fashion. And yes, the story is unusual, and that's exactly the point of the Gemara.
It makes more sense if it was the mother of Rav Achdebuye that pleaded.
Okay, I hear you. But okay, now the Gemara says, okay, so right, we went off on a couple of topics over here. The Gemara just went from tangent to tangent. And in other words, we talked about the importance of giving tzedakah. We quoted Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes was given a strange nickname. The Gemara then explained the strange nickname and the background story for that. And oh, by the way, in that background story, a dialogue between Rav Sheshes and Rav Achdebuye bar Ami in terms of how do we know that when a mitzvah is in process of tahara, he's still considered an avatuma. Now, Rav Sheshes could not provide the source, and as long as we're here, so the Gemara now is going to explain what, in fact, is the source. So the Gemara says, "Kedetani Rav Shimon bar Yochai Omer Namar Kibbutz Begadim." When he is determined a chalut to be a mitzora, so with there the Torah says specifically he is an avatuma, and the Torah uses the expression of kibbutz begadim. So when the Torah talks about kibbutz begadim during his sipur, during the counting, so we're going to assume also that he is an avatuma. Malahala matame adam afka matame adam. Okay, Amar Rebbe Lazar Gadol Hosu Tzedaka B'Seisa Yoser Mi Moshe Rabbeinu Yiv Tzedaka privately, that is greater than Moshe Rabbeinu Dilu. But Moshe Rabbeinu Ksiv Ki Yagorti Mi Panai Ha'af V'Hachema. So Moshe Rabbeinu, through his tzidkus, was able to remove Af and Chema. These are the mazikin, those that damage. So ve'ilu ba'osev tzedaka k'siv matam b'sefer yach be'af v'shochad b'chek chama aza. And meanwhile, the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Mishlei that somebody who gives privately is able to remove af, shochad, chama, aza. In other words, many more mezikin can be removed when someone gives privately. Upligid Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, af kofe chama enu kofe, af kofe chama enu kofe. So Rav Yitzchak disagrees in terms of the precise number of mazikin that are going to be removed when someone gives in private. He's going to remove af, but he's not going to remove chema. Shenemer v'shochad b'cheik chama aza. Af api sheshochad b'cheik chama aza. Even though he's given privately, so still the chama is very strong. Okay. don't look for me to try to explain the subtle differences between the kind of mazikin that are removed, but basically the Gemara obviously speaks in very strong terms about how important it is to give privately. And as long as we quote the pasuk, so the Gemara uses it for a different drasha, if you're a judge and you accept bribery, so you're going to be bringing chama azah to the world, meaning in the pasuk we just quoted, speaks to this idea that when you accept bribery, so you're bringing this kind of mazikin into the world. Okay, we will stop here. Today, we continued in the Gemara's discussion of tzedaka, and basically an entire day dedicated to some of the basic halakhas regarding the gabei tzedaka and the significance and importance of giving tzedaka.